committee to order for a free conference on House Bill 133 by Representative Berry.
General title.
Pardon?
The general.
Oh, and the general, and the title is, let me read it.
Just clear it down.
A bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Professional and Occupational Licensing Laws, Clarifying Certain Provisions Regarding Professional Licensing Boards, Renaming the Board of Social Work Examiners and Professional Counselors to the Board of Social Work Examiners, Professional Counselors, and Marriage and Family Therapists, providing that failure to report gunshot and stab wounds is a misdemeanor.
And accept.
Etc. Thank you. I don't believe we have to open, but is there discussion on House Bill 133, Representative Berry?
Madam Chair, I do have a couple of amendments that have been put on this, in the Senate that I'd like to address. I have a amendment HB 013311 dash or dot APM, Madam Chair.
Does everyone have the amendment in front of them? Is there discussion on the amendment?
Before Senator Facey takes off, can I talk about my amendment
first?
You may. Excuse me, Ms. Senator Facey, sorry. Again, as it was brought in front of the House Business and Labor Committee, Jack Kane from the Business and Labor Department said that he has a hard time getting crane inspectors that are licensed, that have a first-class license. He really does feel that a person with a third-class license can do the job. He can hire those people in the wage guidelines he has, and I guess I'd rather have somebody out there do the inspection than no one at all. So please vote for this amendment.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Did you?
Yeah, he did.
Move the
okay.
amendment.
Sure.
Senator Facey, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I certainly appreciate the concern of the department and the like, but I also have concerns about the experience of the class, third-class crane operator and their experience and whatever, and I would just resist the amendment and see if we can't do better in trying to recruit an appropriate licensed inspector. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there further discussion? I have a question. Maybe Representative Berry can answer this. What is the difference between the first and the third class crane and hoist inspector?
Can I defer that to Mr. Kane?
Without objection, Mr. Kane, would you come to the microphone, please, identify yourself and explain the difference.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Jack Kane, K-A-N-E, Division Administrator, Business Standards Division. Currently, there's three classes of licensure for the crane operators, first class, second class, third class. A first class crane operator's license is the one that's issued an unlimited license. It's a type of license that would be required for you to run any type of large friction crane, jack-up crane, the big tower cranes. In other words, these guys are trained and they have the experience to do everything. A third-class operator's license is generally the entry-level license, kind of one step up from an oiler. What they do is they're involved in setting up cranes, moving them without the masts up and stuff like that, setting them up. This position, what the primary function of this position is really to check for licensure, to check to see that the logbooks on the crane are up to date, and to note any discrepancies that are really out there. They are not the people who do the inspection on the cable and things like that, or tell a person whether they can or cannot operate the crane. So, again, that's the difference between the three.
Madam Chair. If I could follow up with one more question. How do these entry-level people know that a crane is up to date? How do they figure that out?
Madam Chairman, every crane is required to have a logbook and a maintenance record, and it's supposed to be either kept in the cab of the crane or on the premises of the construction company. That's how they would check that.
Thank you. Are there other questions of Mr. Kane?
Follow-up from Mr. Kane, Madam Chair, if I could. Mr. Kane, Madam Chair, could you... we heard testimony about the difficulty in finding crane inspectors with that level of experience. Can you talk a little more about that?
Madam Chair, Senator Moore, I certainly can. In the last 2.5-3 years, this position has been vacant about 90% of the time. We currently have a first-class licensed crane operator in this position. We have had them in the past. Typically, the position is open until filled. People will come on board usually at the end of the construction season, sometime November. We hire them on. We get them the pickup. We get them the pro card. We get them trained. We get them in the system. And by about this time, they typically are off to another job. The pay differential is huge. I mean, I can't really speak to the exact amount, but I can remember years past, we'd have crane guys coming in from Colorado that were commanding, you know, $60, $65 an hour standing up electrical structures. So there's a huge pay differential between what we can pay and what they can pay. And they just don't stick around.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And if I could follow up with that same line of questioning from Senator Moore. Mr. Kane, I'm wondering if, does this have to be a full-time employee, or could you actually contract for that $65 an hour crane inspector license number first class?
Madam Chair, I would imagine that we could put this position as a part-time temporary, or we could even contract for it, but again, it's going to be the pay. In this division, costs are commensurate, so therefore the crane license, if we contract at $65 an hour, you know, I don't know if they're going to stay on for a week to catch them all. I mean, it's usually going around, so it would be, I think it would be more expensive to contract at the higher rate as opposed to have a full-time employee at the current rate.
Representative Lang?
Madam Chair, for Mr. Kane again.
Yes.
No way do we want to destroy any safety potential. But how many inspectors are there involved with this process of keeping a crane running?
Madam Chairman, Senator Lang, currently there is allocated to this program one full-time investigator to go around the state of Montana to check the cranes. Now, as a caveat to that, what we have done is we've got building inspectors all throughout the states also. So we've instructed those people to, in addition to their regular building duties, if they see a crane mast in the air, to stop in and make sure that the license is correct, and then they'll report that to the crane inspector to let him know that, for example, Miles City, they're working on a building, there's a crane down there, and have them. The building codes people are not really capable of looking at the records, but they are capable of checking a license.
Follow up.
Representative Lang.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Kane, did I miss something? And I thought there was talk about there was another inspector to inspect cables on cranes and the actual towers. And
Madam Chairman, Senator Lang, I believe that would probably be an OSHA thing. We don't do that.
Okay.
They may have done that a long time ago, but we don't currently aren't required to do that.
Is there further discussion on the amendment?
Question.
The question has been called. We will do a roll call vote, please.
Chairman Brown?
Yes.
Senator Moore?
Yes.
Senator Facey?
No.
Representative Berry?
Yes.
Representative Lang?
Yes.
Representative Bullen?
No, by proxy.
Is there further discussion on the bill as amended?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Amendment HB 013312.APM. Madam Chair, this here's dealing with the hearing aid dispensers. And the amendment, I believe, took out the audiologist off the board. And I know there's been concern that if we have more than one audiologist on the board, that they can kind of control the board. We don't need that. We want to have a good discussion on board and good dissection of people on there. So my bill would say that we'd have at least one audiologist on the board. I think this is important because you are dealing with people's health. You're dealing with people. Someone should have the knowledge of the inner ear and how the receptors and everything work. A lot of your hearing aid dispensers, they just don't have the knowledge that an audiologist would have, and I just think for consumer protection we should have just at least one, and that's what this amendment says. States, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Berry. Pat, if I could ask you the question, right now, what is the composition of the dispensers board?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the hearing aid dispensers board, if you look on pages two and three of your bill, currently has two members, each of whom has been a licensed hearing aid dispenser for at least 5 years. possesses a current audiologist license issued under the audiology and speech pathology chapter and has a master's level college degree. Two members who do not hold a master's level college degree in audiology but have been a licensed dispenser and fitter of hearing aids for at least 5 years before being appointed, and one public member who is either an ear, nose, and throat doctor or an audiologist or a person who uses a hearing aid because of a demonstrated hearing impairment. And so it's five members.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on the amendment? The explanation at the bottom of the amendment 133.12.APM explains that the original statute required two with an audiologist license at the master's level, and I believe this one would drop it down to one audiologist. Further discussion?
Madam Chair, and it would also allow the governor to appoint somebody who is an audiologist. So you could have up to two because one of those positions is open to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, an audiologist, or a person who uses a hearing aid. So you could have up to two.
Thank you.
Can I ask a Pat Murdo
question?
Go ahead,
Representative Berry.
Madam Chair, Pat Murdo. You say the governor could appoint somebody, but in my discussion in the past, ears, nose, and throat doctors just don't want to, is it my understanding, ears, nose, and throat doctors just don't want to take the time to come up here and serve on the board, and there have not been any of those on the board for quite some time? Could you please clarify?
Madam Chairman and Representative Berry, yes, there has been a problem sometimes of getting medical doctors to serve on boards other than the medical board because they are in high demand for their own practice, and they only get $50 a day for serving as a board member.
Thank you.
Is there a further discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. A roll call vote, please.
Chairman Brown?
No.
Senator Moore?
Yes.
Senator Facey?
Yes.
Representative Berry?
Yes.
Representative Lang?
Yes.
Representative Boland?
Yes, by proxy.
Motion carries.
Would you care to move the bill as amended?
Madam Chair, thank
twice.
You.
Twice.
Oh. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 133 as amended twice.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none? The question has been called. Roll call vote.
Chairman Brown?
Yes.
Senator Moore?
Yes.
Senator Facey?
No.
Representative Berry?
Yes.
Representative Lang?
Yes.
Representative Boland?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, members of the committee. This closes the hearing on
Madam Chair, before we go too far.
Yes.
Are you willing to carry this on the Senate floor?
No, but I bet you would be.
No, that's why I brought the question up. Sure, I'll carry it again.
Thank you, Senator Facey. You're a good man. We'll all be in your support.
I bet. So.